Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. I am one of your hosts over here. My name is Jim, and on the other side of the screen is Kyle. How are you doing, Kyle?
Another bad week. Fantasy went poorly. Both leagues. Packers lost. Yeah, you were there. Lost to the stupid Lions.
Oh, Packers. Stupid's kind of harsh. Come on.
Hey, they can be good in.
They're pretty smart over there. They're doing something right.
I saw that jersey Amon Ra made for himself. Didn't know Green Bay was two words. Come on.
It's kind of funny. I don't know if he knew or not. He's actually a pretty smart dude. If he intentionally did that, though, because that's what a lot of people are like theorizing, is that maybe he did intentionally. But like everyone was getting so pissed off on Reddit. I was reading about it, like all the Packer fans. So I'm like, honestly, he kind of really trolled me if it was an accident.
He's selling them now. The t-shirts are $40 and the hoodies are like $80. I'm like, dude. That was
a little much. Yeah, I saw that too.
Maybe it's going to charity or something. I don't know. I didn't really look into it.
Hopefully I thought about buying one because I'm just like, but I live in Wisconsin. It'd be kind of funny. But I'm like, I really don't think Green Bay sucks. And I'd probably get way too much shit wearing it around here. So I'm like, yeah, I don't have the balls to do that. I'll just
stay away from it. Make one for like $7. So
that too.
Like it's a high quality. It doesn't look like that high quality of a product.
Nah. But I'm sure those are highly marked up.
If the guy's got a chance to cash in on something he did, why not? I don't blame him. All right, yeah, we'll jump into the show on that note. So we'll start this week with the fab bet for the results from last week, as we always do. So Jim lost, everybody. Yeah. I'll insert some sweet crowd cheering noises after that. congrats to myself, Jackie, and Mike for believing it was possible. $5 to each of us. I didn't edit yet, but I will. Forgot about that this morning, but we'll get it up there. And the question for next week will be in a similar vein. So Lee's on a 5-game winning streak right now since starting 0-4. So he's currently got the longest winning streak in the league, and he's up against Karsten's, the man who ended the last longest winning streak. So the question is, can Lee keep his win streak alive? Yes or no? I'll post it in the group chat on Wednesday, probably before anyone hears this, as usual.
Like our version of America's game of the week right there, you know, yeah, no. Like two hot teams. Everyone's going to be paying attention. It's a good bet. Or a good bab.
To be a fun one. Hopefully everyone votes this time. I think there was like four people that didn't vote in the last one.
Yeah, I was going to vote. I was actually going to vote Karsten's just to be like, whatever. I just felt like it'd cancel out. And then it like Thursday night happened and I'm like, oh, I guess it's too late now. Cause like what? What's his name? Where he had like a 25-point game, I would have been like, oh, you're just, you know.
Yeah. Any poll I put up, the cutoff is always as soon as Thursday night kicks off. I don't care if it doesn't affect the bet at all. That's the cutoff point because that's when the poll starts.
I agree. So, yeah, no, I should have voted for him. I was going to, but.
It's not that high stakes anyway, so. It ain't that big a deal. Yeah, normally we jump into the week 8 highlights right about now. We're skipping that part this week because we have two guests on today. So we're just going to, and I didn't really watch much football, and all the important matches are coming up in the NFC North. So NFC North talk.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
First, we got the Bears. Bears lose 9-29. The Bears scored some field goals in the first half. That's about the end of their highlights. Their run defense looked absolutely pathetic. The Cardinals are kind of running at will against them. They didn't pass a ton. This wasn't even really the start of their tough schedule. I think they have New England. Yeah, they do have New England next week. And that's when it really gets tough. And they're already looking pretty poor. So they're in for a world of hurt, I think. I don't even think they're going to have a winning record by the end of the season or even close to it.
I don't want to go that far, but I mean, there's some big concerns. Did you see DJ Moore run off the sideline during a play?
Yeah, I was curious if you were going to bring that up because, Caleb was scrambling and DJ Moore just kind of gave up on the play. Yeah, I didn't know if he got hurt or what. I didn't really look into it, so I didn't want to comment on it and say he's a jackass because I don't honestly know, but it looked bad.
I think it looked worse than it was. I mean, I watched it myself. It did kind of look like he limped a little bit, so maybe he just thought like, hey, I got to get off the field. I was already out of bounds. So like he couldn't have been the first person to touch the football anyway. So maybe he's almost doing it as like a, you know, not even give Williams the opportunity. So there was a couple things and a couple ideas that people are talking about that made sense, but still, it's kind of a bad look because they've already came out and were questioning their head coach last week. It just seems like the players are giving up on them. That's kind of why you lose these type of games this bad, is because the players are giving up on their coaches. And I think the Bears are at that point. Just, I haven't really seen a professional team do this in a while with all these different comments about the coaching and stuff. It's just like every player seems to know that's the problem. Actually, you know what? I should take that back. It kind of reminds me of the Pistons last year when we brought in Monty Williams. Everyone freaked out. He's like a really high profile coach candidate. And then he turned him down three times, but they kept offering more money. So he's finally like, yeah, I came here for the money, and was the worst coaching we've ever seen, like in the NBA. And I think that's kind of what's going on here, because like those players on the team were starting to say stuff. You could tell there was some bad rifts between the team and the coach. And I think that's the same that's happening to these Bears. And if that does happen, they're probably not going to have a winning record. That's going to look bad at the end of the year.
Curious if he'll get fired midseason. I don't know why the Bears do this. Every time they get their new quarterback, they stick with the old coach who wasn't really doing well. And then have to switch, have to switch their whole thing a year or two in to the new quarterback and make him learn a new thing when he's already a young quarterback. It's a recipe that clearly is not working. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking.
You're just setting up the quarterback to fail instantly.
I almost feel like we should do a multi-week bet of who's going to get fired first, whether it's Eberflus or McCarthy.
Anyone else that's in there? I feel like there's got to be another coach.
The Raiders coach, they cleaned house. They fired like their old coordinator, their offensive line coach, they fired a whole bunch of coaches, but their actual head coach still has the job for some reason.
So he might be in the mix. Because he was the interim coach last year.
Yeah.
It'd be weird to like fire him as like early too. I feel like he gets to the end of the year, but that's an interesting. I'm going to say the Bears, though, with the players almost starting a mutiny. Well, no, New England had that a little bit, too. They were saying it was going pretty bad. So New England was the team I was thinking of. They were, like, getting a lot of talk about their coach getting fired. But, yeah, I would put the Bears as number one.
New England will give the guy at least a year, don't you think?
It was, like, that bad that there was, like, talk about a mutiny in the locker room. Kind of like what the Bears are dealing with right now. Like, there was a lot of talk about it early in the year. But it kind of like subsided now that they brought in May. So maybe because May is the rookie, maybe that was it. Maybe they just wanted to see the rookie. Oh. They're going to suck. So maybe, hey, put the rookie in. And I haven't heard as much rumblings. So maybe it's still there. I just haven't been paying attention. But there was some talk about him getting fired.
Yeah, no. I mean, Dak's looking pissed. CD's looking pissed down there. I feel like that team is not functioning well either. At some point, the finger goes to the coach. Like, dude, why is everyone pissed every game? Why is everyone underperforming? Talent is there, but there's nothing to show for it.
Yeah, similar situations. Like, the players are very, like, physically showing their descent, you know? So,
that's interesting.
I like
it. You got Eberflus, I got McCarthy.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Whenever it happens, we'll roll with it. Ebby McCarthy. Byron. Okay, cool. So yeah, that's it for the Bears and our ramble about coaches getting fired. Next one we had was the Vikings. They win and they get back on track this week after going on a little two-game losing streak. This game was 7-0 Colts at halftime. Both teams were basically just stalling out and missing field goals in the first half. It's pretty uneventful. But in the second half, Vikings came back out. They got back to their good form. And they ended the game with 21-13. Only allowed a couple field goals in the second half. So their defense was doing good. Their offense scored 21 in the second half. Wasn't the prettiest win, but a win's a win. You're happy for a Vikings fan. This edges you over the Packers now, too.
Yeah, it was a big win for them. Yeah, they got to stay at least pace with the Packers, to stay ahead at this point. I didn't really watch the game, but to me it's kind of concerning they barely beat the Colts. I feel like the Colts are just bad team, but I think they are close to 500, so maybe they're better than I think. But I just feel like the Vikings would have kind of beat them by a more dominant score.
You would think so, but it is the NFL. I mean, any week shit can happen. And like I said, they were down 0-7 at the half, so in the second half they dominated pretty hard. I don't know what was going on that first half.
And they're a better team with Flacco too, right? So maybe
Flacco was terrible. I think Flacco threw three picks this game.
Yeah, I know he didn't play well, but I mean, he's been like more steady than obviously Anthony Richardson. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it for the NFC North. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
Oh yeah, you know, I'm good.
Yeah, I guess there's one more game. Yeah, so the Packers versus the Lions. Packers lose, rainy game, 24-14. Hate to say it, but yeah, Lions are really good this season. They're going to be extremely hard to beat. We'll see what happens next time we face up. I think it's 3 or 4 weeks away. It's not terribly far. But for the Packer fans listening, the Packers didn't play a terrible game. I don't even think the Lions beat them. I think the Packers beat themselves for the most part. The Packers had 150 more yards on offense. They had more first downs. They had more red zone possessions. Like, with all that said, you would think they would win, but they made mistakes and just like terrible mistakes. Like that pick six at the end of the first half. Like, that's such a huge swing. You had the ball. You could have at least got time to get a field goal before the half. Instead, you just fed the Lions another touchdown, which one of their three touchdowns, and you just handed it to them. They missed an easy field goal. Drops. Everyone was dropping it. I think the Lions had one drop all game. Packers had 7 or 8 of them.
Yes.
You can't win. It was sloppy play by a young team. They looked like a young team. We all kind of hoped they would mature more this year, but yeah, you're not going to win games like that. You can't just give them away. That's pretty much what they did.
I mean, the reason I think the yards are so weird and, like, you know, the Packers have so many more yards than the Lions, and the Lions, you know, kind of dominated most of the game is that pick six was almost at the perfect time, because that we saw how the weather kind of just shifted at that point. So that was like almost the end of the game, in my opinion. Not to say like, oh, the Lions are just the better team. That's the end of the game. Like that, the way that weather played then into that game, you could just not throw really. And that's when you saw all the Packer mistakes. So you saw all the bad snaps, a lot of the drop passes. It just didn't look like they could play in that rain. And the Lions had it a lot easier because they weren't trying to get chunk plays. You know, they're only playing probably around the line of scrimmage most of the rest of the game after that. They're only trying to keep drives going. They weren't really forcing it. I think that's why you see a lot less of those mistakes, because they were put in a position not to make them just because they got that lead. So unfortunately, that pick was the worst possible thing that could have happened. Obviously, you know, 6 points, interception is the worst thing, but it was even more monumental in this game because of the weather and how it played out.
It's a momentum killer too. I mean, you had the ball. It was 3-7 at the time. You go down and score a field goal, it's 3-7-6. You're perfectly fine coming out of halftime with that, but instead it's 14-3. I mean, that's brutal. And like you said, then the Lions get the option to run, take short plays, try to run the clock as much as they can. Whereas Packers are stuck trying to make up a deficit that a two possession deficit that they dug themselves into, and they never got out of.
I'm excited to see the next game. I don't think we really saw a legitimate matchup between these two teams. I still think the Lions are a better team and a quite a bit better team, but like, it's hard to tell off of this game. Like, I don't take anything from it really.
I'm excited for it too. I mean, I'm excited for us to get to buy Jordan Love. Hopefully he's like fully healthy, because
right,
he came back so quick from the MCL and he was hobbling. Then he had his groin. And he was hobbling a little against, like, damn, just get healthy.
Yeah. And that's a big thing too. It's like, how do we know how much that's impacting the Packers right now as well? Like, that injury could be maybe the reason why he made some more bad passes, throws. Maybe it's because he couldn't get out of the, maybe he thought he had more of an opportunity to outrun the defensive end there on the pick six when he was basically getting chased down. He tosses it. Maybe if he was like a little bit healthier, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. It's, like I said, it's not too far away. I think it's coming up. Yeah, like in a month, like the next 4 games.
Yeah,
but
I know we play again right away.
Yeah. See how the division currently sits with the Lions sitting at the top at 7-1. Very good record. Vikings moving to second at 6-2, and the Packers dropped to third at 6-3. Bears remain in the bottom at 4-4. I'm assuming they can probably get a win next week against New England, but we'll see about that when it comes up.
I mean, they're the type of team that can lose that. I mean, to get blown out by the Cardinals when I think everyone else in the division pretty much handed them very easily, it's a big sign.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how they did that bad against the Cardinals. But, yeah, on that note, we're going to to have a quick talk with Carson's, our local NFC North expert.
Well, we've kind of already said how well we're doing, but Carson's, to start out the podcast, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. I mean, I get to hopefully by the end of the night dethrone the number one guy in fantasy, but.
Oh, well, hold on. You might beat me. That doesn't dethrone me. I'm still number
one. Okay, it dethrones you from undefeatedness. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen. It's very plausible. Yeah. I mean, what, KC probably needs like 23 points or something like that?
You need 20, like 19 something, 20, yeah.
And my kicker kind of let me down.
And then he hurt himself. It looked like it was great. I'm like, what the hell? He got a quad injury or something.
And the guy I dropped him for, he put up like 14 points, the Bills kicker. So now he's starting to do good. So that's why kickers don't matter. They're the worst.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's not my choice, though.
Well, it could be the first chink in the armor. That's the start of the dethroning.
It's the kicker. It's
gonna I need to get back on track. I'll level around 500 this year. I think I should be okay.
There might be, enough to get in the playoffs this year.
I'll say it.
Besides Jim, no one's making a real strong case that I'm going to be in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carson's, any big news you want to share with the league? Anything exciting happened in your life recently?
Yeah, of course. I figured that question was coming up. So, yeah, I got married last Saturday.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Finally joined the elite. I guess you can call it that.
I don't feel any more elite since I got married. I don't know.
Well, that's why I said nothing changed in the first week. Nothing's changed. So,
yeah. I wore my ring for a little while, and then I got not used to it. I don't know where it is now.
You got yours on, Carson's?
It's right here.
Okay.
I
never put mine on either.
I'm playing with it. Yeah, that's that silicone one.
Yeah, those are nice. So they'll rip off if you get it stuck in something.
Well, that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen,
Well, it's better than your finger ripping off.
I was just gonna say that. But yeah. Other than that, nothing too crazy.
Hey, your wedding was a great time, by the way. Thanks for having us over there.
Oh, absolutely.
We loved your not tux, but the vest, whatever thing you had.
The jacket.
The little flare out. Kind of looked like an Admiral jacket or something. I dug it.
Yeah, it's a Goodwill special.
A Goodwill special. Oh, nice. Even better.
Yeah, it was like $8. I was like, damn. So, yeah, Andrea found that, and I was like, I think I could still fit into that.
Gotta, hold back in a couple of beers here and there.
I had to. I had to open it up by the time dinner was over. Like, shit, man, I can't do it.
But yeah, it was a great time. You did a good job.
Both of you did. Thank you. Everything went smooth, so I was happy about that.
Yeah, it's nice when there's no stress there.
Well, we had enough of that leading up to it.
Yeah, that's what Vicky and I did. No stress. Like, we just had it. Very small amount of people. We didn't want to deal with anything. Just get it done with. We've been together 10 years, so it didn't really
matter. At that point, yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't really tell for sure. Were you crying when she came down the aisle? I saw a lot of blinking.
I had to hold it back.
You held
it back? As much as I could. Like, when we're giving our vows and stuff, like, I had to keep looking up. Because I'm like, if I look at her, it's going to, like... I'm gonna look like that guy in that meme where he's like, when his friend turns him around and he's got that like crying face, and when his bride's walking down, I didn't want to be that guy, so
I let it out.
Yeah,
best day of your life. Who cares?
That's what everybody kept saying, and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Well, all right. Let's start with the obvious here. We're going through fab spending last week, and the first thing that popped up was you spending $20 on Dicker the Kicker.
Yep.
So explain yourself. What's going on there?
Well, a couple things. One, my draft pick, Narv, pissed me off. So basically when he got cut, I always end up, like, because I don't spend much. Like, the past couple of years we've had this, I really haven't spent all that much. So when I started realizing, like, what people were paying for certain players, and yes, I know it's not a position that you really, it matters, but it kind of does. I mean, sometimes they can win and lose games. So I figured I'll try to take my best bet, because I end up losing a lot of players to other bets. Like, I get outbid all the time. Last year was terrible. So I figured, well, I don't really spend the money during the year. Knock on wood, my team's actually relatively healthy this year. So I figured, what the hell, you know, why not? I needed a kicker. I said, I don't want to lose it. So went with it.
Fair enough. Spent the money, you got the guy. Yeah. You gonna keep starting him? Or is this 2-point week gonna take a pivot?
Well, we'll kind of have to see. I don't have another kicker. So I might go see what's out there and might switch him out.
He was the high scorer just the week before, so it's kind of one of those you never know.
Kickers go though,
yeah.
It because sometimes it's just games where the offense sputtered out and didn't score a touchdown in the red zone. They get 3 field goals. Sometimes it's the team scores a touchdown instead, and then now they get 2 points over, like, you know, a couple kicks, and yeah, it's just hard to predict.
Yeah,
they generally want like low scoring games that are defensive games, but the offenses are good enough to get near the red zone, but can't score. It's a strange dynamic.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, like, I think when I was drafting him, because he had that big week, he was already projected then because he had such a good week. So I figured, well, you know, at that point I couldn't lose. You know, I'm like, well, what the hell? I don't care, you know. So I figured I'd make that at least 5 of that up at some point, sometime during the season, if I get one of the questions right.
You're still one of the highest in fab money, so you can still spend. You can still get the games you want.
Yeah, because I really don't.
I was going to say, you can also just admit that you just wanted him because his name was Dicker.
Dicker the kicker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to roll to it.
Well, I always miss getting butt kicker. He was my other draft darling for kickers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Good names for kickers. We got Mick Anus.
Mick Anus.
The Packers. That's when he was like first brought in to the Broncos way back in the day. We came up with that one.
Mick Anus. Yeah.
I think that was Kyle and I that came up with that.
Yeah, I think we didn't know how to pronounce his name, and somehow it's like Mick Anus. Like
the draft. Yeah. Who is that guy? Oh, Mick Anus. Sure, that works.
Yeah, kickers always got the best names.
So besides kickers, your team's not too bad this year. You're currently 4-4. You're just one game back from Richard in the Kings division over there.
Yep.
With me and Ashley on the bottom of it. So how are you feeling about your season so far? Think you got the roster to get into the playoffs, make a run?
If I say yes, I actually do. My team is healthy this year, which has been, you know, my issue the last couple of years was injuries. Because Saquon Barkley went out, then Patrick Mahomes, my number one overall pick for the last 3 years, he was kind of dealing with some injuries / lackluster play. But I have a healthy team this year, which is good, and that's helping a lot. So I think overall, I think unless, you know, like I said, injury bugs later in the season can always happen. I think the end of the season gets pretty interesting for everybody, but I'm happy. I'm glad I picked up Jackson. Like, that was one of the, you know, getting him at the 48th pick. So I was happy for that. It's working out.
Yeah.
Some of that may be a little luck, but
he's a difference maker this year. Yeah. I think last year you lost Chubb too.
Yep. That was the Chubb other one.
Someone else went out last year.
Yeah. So I haven't been dealing with the.
He'd probably be the number one pick too.
So I haven't been dealing with the injuries, which has been a big part of it.
Yeah,
that's kind of fantasy football. It's kind of a war of attrition, like you're talking about. You know, who knows what's going to happen by the playoffs, because teams are going to get injured, players are going to get injured on teams, and it's just like who's got the best remaining players at that point. Mm-hmm. Typically wins.
Right.
That's why everyone's kind of saying, "Oh, we want Jim to lose" or something like that. I always think it's like I don't know what's going to happen when we get in the playoffs. Like, I could have the best team, but it's like, you guys can easily beat me, because even if my team's healthy, you could have a bad week, or my team could be just completely garbage by the time I make it to the playoffs. We don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If two studs go down, it's hard to win. It's hard to make those points up.
Or if they, because I had Mike Evans, who was who's been coming on. I mean, he's kind of been wishy-washy week to week, but for the most part, he's been pretty decent, whether it's a garbage touchdown at the end, whatever. But he's been pretty good. And that's kind of the same thing for Tyler Lockett. For me, he's been kind of on the lower end, because you have Njigua and you have Metcalf, and Metcalf has been getting a lot of the touchdowns, but Lockett's gotten his fair share, so that's good.
I like that Evans, reliable guy. He's always Evans, available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Evans is a difference maker, and you haven't had him for the last 2 weeks, but...
But I hopefully he should be coming back, but yeah.
Yeah. Kick it to Jim for the next one.
So yeah, this may age poorly, but looks like you've got the number... at this time of the recording for our matchup. So on here, it says KC scores 21 points. You'd be giving me my first loss on the year. How do you feel about that?
Well, I should say it makes me feel great. But, I mean, between Hurts and Barkley, that was half your points. It was kind of one of those weeks you talked about that, Jalen Waddle had a struggle. You saw Pitts had one catch. I mean, there was a lot of struggles in a lot of areas, I think, this week for you. And, Chubb and Cleveland pretty much, hit the bet on that one.
Yeah.
So
that one hasn't worked out so well for me yet.
Yeah. So, I was lucky Garrett Wilson kind of went off on Thursday because of Devontae. Obviously making the great one-handed catch and stuff. So, I guess this week for some of these guys, I did get a little lucky. I mean, the Packers didn't play that great. Jordan Love was pretty dismal in bad weather, so I was lucky that 50-yard catch or whatever it was at the end of the half for Reed. I mean, I got lucky on a few things.
I wouldn't really call it luck, though. I think your team's just really good. My team's
is a good team.
The thing about it is teams are consistent. It's not necessarily I might score the highest point every week. It's just my team consistently gets like 110 to 130 range. And most people probably average like 110 to like 90. So like where I average just a little extra points. But I mean, yeah, my high point total, I haven't really had like crazy high point games. So like I bet you your team has like high potential. You'd probably beat me out on the highest score. I don't know if my team could actually outscore yours if everyone hit their peak. So
if everybody hit their peak, yeah. I mean, Drake London got hurt. That didn't help.
Yeah.
Because I have him in another league, too, and I was like, damn. My song got him. I'm like, no. Like, it's a good thing, but it sucks.
Is that your first injury of the year, Jim? Drake London missing half a game?
Can't think of any, like, big-time
players. You got Jameson Williams. He's suspended, so he's missing time.
I
but
someone I dropped, but it was, like, Christian Kirk got off waivers. See, I don't know anyone that I drafted that I felt like was a contributing player got injured yet.
Yeah. That's the trick.
This is the first time I think I've lost him for even like a couple games. I feel like the only reason I lost Williams is the suspension. So I haven't really lost anyone from injury for just like two games either. So I've been very fortunate, and that's another reason why my team got to the point it did. Like I don't think my team's even like that incredible. Like it's not like a normal 9-0 team. Like I felt like I just kind of had a lucky run. There's a couple weeks where I was like I scored like 114 and then someone else scored 109. Like it wasn't even that great of a week, but I just skirted by. So the weird thing about this league is we were talking about a couple weeks ago is everyone's in like a group. Everyone's like that was like 3-4 and 4-3. And it's just like there was just me and everyone else. So it's just like a huge like dogfight in the middle now to try to see who comes out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Like it's I say lucky because like I've had to deal with injuries every year, and I'm never usually on the waiver wire. I'm like usually down near the end, so I never get the guys that either replace whoever. But yeah, even given like betting on them and stuff. But yeah.
That's why we switched to Fab, so you can avoid that kind of thing now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the waiver wire is kind of a kick in the chicklets most of the week.
Yeah. And it's proven to be more valuable earlier on in the season. I've been watching the spending these last couple weeks, and it's just going down. Like, there's not as much there as there was at the start of the year.
I feel like, like week six, you should have a good idea if, like, you should be spending big money. If you haven't spent at that point, then maybe you hold it till the end of the year. But yeah, you should pay all the money by like week six, seven.
Yeah, speaking of your team, I think you drafted a very good team this season. I think you did a good job. You waited on quarterback. You still wound up getting number one quarterback in the league. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
You got the number four running back this year. You got Kyron. He's looking excellent. You got two top 10 wide receivers right now, Garrett Wilson and Jordan Reed. And honestly, you'd probably have three if Mike Evans hadn't missed a few games, because he was top 10 before he went out. You also got Njoku, who's started poorly, but he's looked better since Watson left. So, I mean, top to bottom, I think you have a very good team. That's why several people bet on you to beat Jim this week. It definitely looked doable. But I just got to ask, what's the difference this year? Do some more research for the draft? Do you change your draft strategy a little?
I changed my strategy. I started, you know, realizing that, like, yes, quarterbacks are, you know, it's nice to have them. Mm-hmm. But starting to see to have these, you know, getting, like, those one or two top 10 players on your roster is what, you know, I started to kind of see what everybody else was drafting, and not necessarily to follow suit, but kind of going with my gut, not trying to be fancy. I always try to do that sometimes, where I try to be fancy in the draft and start picking guys that, you know, kind of could be those underdogs, rather than getting somebody who can make a name for themselves, you know, already.
That's a good pivot.
But like Jaden Reed, I picked up because of how he ended the year last year. I wasn't sure if Christian Watson could have stayed healthy. Dobbs, you know, I picked him up, I thought last year, like later, maybe.
He would have been a waiver pickup, probably.
Yeah. But like Reed, after his season last year, he really started to remind me of like the Julian Edelmans, all those kind of like small guys who could make big plays. So I figured that was probably a pretty good bet, even with the Packers having like four or five receivers. I thought he'd be the one to stand out because there's so many things they could do with him.
It was the right call. I mean, I thought the Packers wide receivers in general were a pretty big gamble this year. So you got him for cheaper. Like, if one winds up being good, you knew it was going to be a value, but the question was, which one was it? It looks like you hit it. Looks like it was Reed.
Yeah.
Hard process, too, from what you're saying, because with him, with being a rookie, one of the things you kind of want to look at are they actually making plays for him? Or is he just getting open and catching stuff, which both can be good. But if like the team is like going out of their way at the end of the season for like a rookie to make plays for him and set him up in like these, you know, big, I can't think of the term, but you know, when the receiver comes back, takes the handoff from the running back.
The end arounds.
Things like that. And then you see like plays being drawn up to get him like 40 yards down the field because he can burn, you know, a corner, you know, pretty quickly off the line. That's like a pretty tell sign, like, okay, they think this guy is a lot better, or they think he's going to be a mainstay in the team. So then the next year we'll start getting more and more work, and that's what I think happened with Reed. You could really see it at the end of last year. So it's really a smart way to look at it, because those are the type of players that win fantasy leagues. You know, you got Mike Evans earlier, like, you pretty much draft Mike Evans in the third round knowing I'm getting Mike Evans, I'm getting 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. But with like Reed, you're like, are you getting some bust, or are you getting the guy who can probably compete with Evans by the end of the year for point total?
Right.
If you get that guy in the round 5-6 or whatever, you would have got Reed. Like, that's the big steal. So that's how you win fantasy leagues. Is that kind of
player. It's the deeper picks. Yeah, and that's kind of something I tried to think about. But the thing I watched about Reed last year was he was a big play guy with like those short passes, or where it didn't look like he was getting anywhere that he can make those big plays. And I was like, well, if he's capable of doing that, you know, at least I got a better chance at getting points with them. So there's a little madness to that.
So in our bold predictions a few weeks back, Kyle said you were going to go from worst to first this season. But you think you have it in you? You know, you might get a big win this week, so you just gotta get to the playoffs, you know, win a few more games, get there. And then what do you think about your roster, though? You think you have a shot this year? You think you might be able to take home? This would probably be your first ever championship if you were to win it, right?
Yeah.
Big deal.
Exchange a trophy for a trophy.
Please.
It's a good trade. It's a good trade.
Very good trade. I mean, like I said, as long as everything kind of just kind of stays the course, you know, I get it. You know, sometimes I'm not going to get a big week from a certain player. Like, that happens. You know, we talk, that's fantasy. But I think with my roster and I think with my team, there's enough dynamic to, if a guy has an off week, that I can make it up somewhere else. So yeah, I definitely think it's possible. You know, I don't fear like my team's just garbage. Like halfway through the year last year, half my team was injured, or you know, it was just, you know, at that point I was like, well, this sucks. But this year's a lot better.
You're definitely live. We'll see what. Well, I'm curious to see where Heaps puts you in his power rankings. I'd have you up pretty high, top three or four, definitely.
I do know I should have one more win. I think it was like 2 weeks ago where I literally lost by like 0.3 points. I don't know if that was to Jackie or to Vicky or something, but it was like the Sunday or Monday night game, and like her defense was, I was only up by like 1 or 2 points. And I was like 99% to win. And then like something real stupid happened and I lost. Do you remember that? It was like a couple weeks ago.
Well, if you listen to the podcast, I'm pretty sure we referenced
like
word for word what you just said.
Yeah, that hurt.
That's fantasy. I mean,
You
get those.
There was a year that I had a juggernaut team in our other league. And I've talked to Kai about this multiple times. I did not think there's any chance I was going to lose. I had Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley when they both are like the one and number two running backs in the league. So like I was just, there was no beating me. I pretty much walked through everyone all the way to the finals. And then this guy picks up, now I forgot his name.
Deion Lewis, baby.
Deion Lewis. Fucking Deion Lewis. He picked up like 2 weeks before and he had like 35 points in the finals and beat me. And I was just like, we went to Monday night, and I can still remember Alshon Jeffrey, who I'm sure most people remember from the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
He was on the Eagles at the time. I think maybe Vic was the quarterback then, and that he was injured or something. And I needed like 6 or 7 points out of him, and he got like 1.1. And I just sat there watching that whole game for just like anything to happen. He just would not do anything. And the worst part is the person that I was debating on that week, I remember having a tight end that I didn't like, and I almost took out that tight end and put in Eric Ebron. The only reason I didn't is because the guy literally destroyed my heart as a Lions fan because he was so bad and I thought he was going to be so good. And he had him on my bench. Like, there's no way I can start him. I can't go into like losing off of Eric Ebron, you know? So I'm like, I'm not doing it. So I didn't start Eric Ebron and he went off. That would've been the difference. But yeah, freaking Deion Lewis, Kyle. I think that was when Kyle won his second championship in that league.
That was the second one.
And I was going for my second, I think, too. So it was like we were both fighting for the first person to be the back-to-back, and Deion Lewis ended it.
Yeah, that hurt. So I've been there. Granted, it wasn't a championship game, so I could at least rest easy tonight knowing that.
But yeah, that one. Lewis, just stay away. One thing I will say, though, just kind of like a tip, I always like to give some people tips. I've been playing fantasy a long time. So for me, like I like to just kind of teach because I feel like that's part of one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast. You're in a good position. I would say you're the second best team in the league behind me. And I don't think it's like that far off to say you might be as good as my team. Just because you had a different start than me doesn't mean your team isn't, you know, on the same level now. You have the guy from the Bengals, Brown. He's starting to look like possibly the main start over there. And he's starting to put up RB2 numbers. That's basically my Montgomery. You have Kyren Williams. Probably not as good as Saquon, but, you know, he's pretty close.
Yeah.
Lamar is probably a little bit better than Hurts, but they're pretty close, especially what Hurts has been playing lately. But then you have three really good receivers, possibly three better receivers than I do. Other than I just, honestly, yeah, you have Garrett Wilson, Reed, and then Evans. And when you're healthy, you're probably
when he's healthy,
So like again, your team, your starters are great. That is what I'm trying to say. You don't really have any like holes on your roster. Like you basically have a full fledged roster. You're not scrambling for picking up players that are going to start each week.
Right.
So what you need to do is you need to focus on your bench. Because if like you do have injuries and later in the year, you could lose because you don't do the right things. That's why we're talking about fat. That's important. You need to be finding guys that are maybe backups. You know, like who's that guy for the Packers that's like a rookie that might come back?
Was it Brooks? Like
yeah, like if you thought he was going to be
good. Oh, there's another one that's coming back soon. I can't think of his name. We just drafted him this year.
High potential guys. Like if the starter goes down, they could end up being a huge steal. So like I have Ray Davis, the backup for Cook that's on Kyle's team. If Cook goes down, Ray Davis goes from useless to probably like one of the top 15 running backs in the league. He's not far off of what Cook is. That's the kind of guys you want to find now. You don't want to find a guy who is a middling player that's starting right now, because you need to find guys that are either better than your starters. And that's the only way you can do that is a guy that gets injured and then you've had their backup and that guy might, as a starter, be better than someone you already have. So that's kind of what you want to look at. So if you actually want to take the next step as a fantasy player, that's where you have to start looking at your roster now. It's thinking like, how do I pivot this top roster into a dominant playoff team? Well, you need to protect yourself or maybe even find a way to upgrade. And that's the one way to do it.
Somewhat a non-fantasy football question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think of the old Packers defense this year? I've watched a lot of football with you. I know you're pretty critical of the old Packers defense. You weren't. I know you always loved Joe Barry and Dom Capers, but
Hell no.
I'd say Jeff Hafley's been pretty good so far. I'm curious what your opinion is on it.
He's definitely turned. He's made them more aggressive to like the 2010, 2011 Packers. He's definitely gotten them to a point where, on the back end, they're more aggressive. The problem is they're very sporadic on getting a pass rush. Like, they can rush the good quarterback, C.J. Stroud. They put pressure on him. But yet when it comes down to the quarterback, like Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, yeah, you should be able to get to them, they're struggling. And that's been their biggest downfall, unfortunately. And I think that's why those trade rumors for Preston Smith were coming out, because I don't know if they were looking to make a move trying to fix it, which I don't think at this point that's going to fix it, but it's just that offense there, the defensive line needs to get home a little bit more. I thought Van Ness would have been a bigger flash than he has been. But our linebackers are getting better. Quay Walker's not a coverage guy. He's a little on the slow end, it seems, this year. I don't know what's up with that, but I mean, overall, I think their back end Stokes could go. He's just garbage.
Yeah, we have to have extra guys because Jair's always hurt. Jair misses like 4 or 5 games every year.
I know. And it's like he comes back from a quad and all of a sudden it's a hip. And it's like, come on, man. Like, we pay you all this money. You want to trash talk Stephon Diggs every time you match up with them, which is great because he shut them down, but then you're hurt the next week and you played the entire game, so it's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, that's always the weird part. Like, he finishes the game and then all of a sudden he's got a questionable tag for next week and then he doesn't play.
Yeah, so I know we paid him a lot of money. I don't remember for how many years, but yeah, something's got to be done there. But like I said, Stokes, he kind of reminds me of like Kevin King. Like, he can have those flashes here,
King.
But he's just, he makes so many stupid mistakes and stupid errors that it's like, man, like, get your head out of your ass.
Yeah, King. Is King the guy we drafted instead of T.J. Watt?
Yes, it is.
Same year. Yeah.
You traded, Kevin, I think, back, right? You could have drafted T.J. and then traded
back.
Yeah. Get Kevin King, yeah.
When I bought our new car, stinks. The guy had a helmet in his on top of like his lockers at the dealership, and I was like, oh, you got a Synchron there, what's the team? And he's like, we don't really want to know, but you might not know who he is, but that's a Kevin King. I'm like, oh, I remember Kevin King. He got in the second round and he had that really bad play in the playoffs. Or
playoffs. That was the Buccaneers game,
I love
it?
Kevin King.
Yeah.
So, that was that go root with 3 seconds left before halftime.
Yeah, Tampa, I think, right? Tom Brady.
It was Tom Brady.
Looked up the receiver, and the receiver knew what to do, and cooked him.
Yeah, it was bad. So I think the defense could be good. They just need to get a better pass rush because they should have gotten to Goff a lot more than they did.
That's a good old line. It's hard to get through.
It is a good old line. I'll give them that. I mean, you know,
you nailed it though. Part of the reason, like you said, Van Ness is kind of the reason why. Like, I think they expected Van Ness to be a lot better pass rusher. Yeah. They don't really have another guy on the other side. They're hoping Van Ness is going to be that guy. And I think he shows some flashes. He's got a lot of hustle in him, but he just doesn't seem to have any pass rushing moves. Like, he just runs in front of the tackle. Like, there's no arm bars. Yeah. There's no swim moves. He's not doing anything. Like, he's all athletic, you know, all athleticism, I mean, but he just needs to learn to, like, use moves. Like, you can't just run like you can in college at the quarterback and maybe get to him. He needs to find a counter move. He needs to find a main move. That's where I think kind of holds you up. And then Jair Alexander, when he gets injured, I think the defense kind of goes in and out of good performances with him gone because he's so dynamic when he is in play. But
yeah, him and McKinney on that back end like work so well. And I even think Stokes plays better when Jair's out there. And I don't know if it's just because he thinks he has to be the new number one or what the issue is. But also Evan Williams being out, that doesn't help because he was really coming along too. So
yeah, he's been good this year.
Yeah.
And McKinney, I know they're talking like he took him under his wing and he's really helping him learn the game and all that, which is a good coach to have.
Yeah, he's been a big pickup.
It's the best defense we've had in quite a while.
I would agree with that.
You wish it would be a little bit better.
Yeah.
There's so much talent or supposed talent there, but yeah.
Interesting because it's been a lot of high draft picks, but it's been a lot of the recent, like, lesser high draft picks, like Evan Williams, and you have that one linebacker from I forget what he came
Bullock,
from.
But or Bull, Bull, well, we had Bullard was he's been yeah, pretty
this
decent.
Year, I think supposed to come back. He's gonna be really good too.
Yeah, our linebackers, I'm still just never. I know Rashawn Gary's been good, but I feel like Rashawn Gary's gonna be the new Clay Matthews, where he's gonna be dynamic for a lot of years. And then they're going to blitz him all the time, and then he's just going to constantly get blocked, and his production goes down.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, we will see.
Got a lot of season left. We'll see. We'll see where they end. Mm-hmm. I guess the last thing here is, they got any parting words for the league? Maybe a little bit more aggressive than what Jackie gave us.
Who are you playing this week after Jim?
After
you should be on like cloud nine right now. Give that next person everything you got.
I have.
You play a Lee. You play Lee next week.
That's a good match.
So it's later on Wednesday, so you'll be in the matchup against Lee.
So Lockett's got to buy. Reed's got to buy. Njoku's got to buy. So if Evans can't go, it kind of sucks. So we'll have to see roster wise what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, some more confidence. Yeah. You guys are the two best teams in the league right now.
Lee's gonna lose Jordan Love, Romeo Doubs, and Packers defense.
Oh, we should be even then. Yeah, I'll just tell him we'll have a bet. We'll put everybody that's on a bye week on the bench, and we'll just go with like what we have. See if he'd go
everyone
for that
else in the league would probably appreciate that. Actually, if I lose like 40 points and then lose yourself the playoff spot.
So it gives him an advantage because he's benching a quarterback.
But right.
That's true.
His backup quarterback is Malik Willis, so he's also on bye.
Oh, ouch. See, that's what Richard did with Seattle, like, what was that, last year, 2 years ago?
His all-Seattle team? Yeah.
He had the Minnesota team that
he did an all-Vikings team once, too.
And somehow like he didn't get last.
He didn't get last, but he did draft Kirk Cousins like in the fourth round. Everyone's like, wait, what just happened? Kirk Cousins just went. And I think like the next person took like Pat Mahomes or something. Just like, well, I guess we're taking Kirk with Cousins now. Or just going to go and grab Pat Mahomes right away. Just we'll end that.
But all I can say is Lee's getting that trophy back this year.
Yeah. Well, if you take first place, you're the one who gets to knight him with it.
Oh, that'll be fun.
You got to work for it.
I think neither you or him will probably get the trophy this year. You guys both got solid teams.
Yeah. Well, Lee kind of came out of the basement because he started off pretty rough, but he's come around.
Yeah, he's looking hot now.
No. Cool. But yeah, we'll see what happens this coming week. I might be spending some money.
Might as well.
Right.
Get a lot of it.
Well, if you're dropping 20 on kickers, people are probably afraid to like bid on anything. They're like, I don't know.
True. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I wish you luck.
Absolutely. We'll have to get together again for another game when we get down there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We're trying to do that most weekends. This weekend's a bye, obviously.
Yeah. We'll have to tell Lee to get away from the bar.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
At least 1 week.
At least 1 week, Lee. Come on.
Are we going to do like a football or a Super Bowl party again? Have we talked about that? We should really figure that out.
We haven't really talked about it yet, but I would say we should.
I want to do
get the league together for a Super Bowl party, and then we can vote on shit then for the next year instead of waiting for the draft. Because then if you do the draft, you can't do it that year because like it's too late to enact it that year.
Right.
So we could actually like have stuff like, yeah, we're going to do this next year instead of, well, we're not doing it this year, but a full fucking year from now. So
right.
To vote on isn't happening this year normally. So it'd be nice to have a different time to vote on it. So I can kick that out there in the group chat. And the problem is, like, if people don't come, I guess if you don't come, you don't get a vote.
Pretty much.
Most people that care there.
We don't change any rules that are that major. I don't think
it's nothing real big.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty small rule changes every year. Just stuff to make it more fun normally. So if people are complaining about it, I mean.
Yeah. I'll bring up the band kickers again. See what happens.
We'll take away kickers in defenses if you want.
Yeah, defenses, I don't mind. There's a little bit of strategy to defense, at least.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I just want, like, no kickers, no defense. Probably just get rid of tight ends, too. Receivers, running backs just have, like, 4 and 5.
That'd be crazy.
That's tight ends, yeah.
We got some high-scoring games.
Yeah, I mean, you could just add it. Yeah, you could just use one of the receiving spots could just be instead of wide receiver, just receiver.
It could be either one. A lot of people have been toying with is that tight ends are so annoying that it's like just add them to the pool and then good enough they'll make into the pool.
It adds a bit of draft strategy because you can get that difference maker because there's only over like 4 of them. So if you spend the draft cap, it's like, all right, I'll win this line of the thing every week or most weeks.
Right.
Kelsey was one of the like big differentiators between like championship teams and non-championship teams. So that does make a lot of sense.
Ed Kittle's been better. Last year he was pretty good. This year he had the breakout game, obviously tight end week or whatever it was.
This year's been weird because the top tight ends were great this year except for Kittle. But Kelsey sucked pretty bad. Andrew sucked pretty bad. Laporta's been terrible.
Yes, he has.
It's really just Kittle out of the highly drafted ones.
Kittle. I think what we talked about earlier in the year, I think Kelsey just got like fat and
not
caring as much. And
he became an actor. We were watching the show that he's in.
Oh, really? Oh no.
Yeah. Like he's not
a good actor
anymore. Oh, yeah.
He should just retire at this point.
Yeah, I think he's still having fun because they're still winning.
Well, yeah.
I think if they weren't in like a position to win Super Bowls, he probably would. But I think he just wants to. He's probably just gonna. He knows he can probably coast all season, get near the end, bust his ass off for the last part of the season, and then he's pretty much healthy. I really think that's what's going on. I don't think they're gonna show him until near the end of the year, and then they know it too. I think it's all planned. Yep. I mean, that's why Rice got so many catches earlier in the year. It's like they're trying to make Rice like the focal point of the offense. So they had the next guy to take over the reins from Kelsey and then obviously got injured. So now that's why they had to use Kelsey more, but they're still doing fine pretty much without him.
But yeah, I guess that's about all we got.
All right, cool.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of the show.
We'll do. We'll catch it on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Peace.
All right. Yeah. Always great to have Carson's on the show. Look forward to next time we do it. Next section we'll jump into is the fab spending. There really wasn't much this week. I wrote down one thing. Everything else was extremely low purchases. But Vicky finally used some of that iron bank she had. She spent $33 to get Travis Etienne. Next highest bid was $1. So spent more than was required, but
you got it. Use it. If he does what people think he would when they draft him at the start of the year, it's very worth it. I don't think he should be on the waiver wire. He's good enough to be on someone's bench, I'll put it that way. So I gave this one a thumbs up.
Yeah. Vicky's the one that reached out to me and she asked some questions. I said, yeah, you should probably pick up a running back. And then that was Travis Etienne was on the list. I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was in there. So I thought, mm-hmm. Yeah, you might want to bid pretty high for him because I thought, you know, more people would bid for him. So I mean, this is the situation where she shouldn't listen to me, but I thought, hey, you know, don't lose out on a chance on him because he could be really good. And there's really probably not going to be many other good players left like this. So take your shot.
Yeah, it's a shot. He might be useless. He might be in a weird committee and not even be the lead of it, but it's worth having on a team. And also to note on this, I didn't know he was out there either. So to everyone, I mean, I'm obviously not doing it, but keep an eye on who people are dropping when they're picking people up. Because sometimes dudes like this wind up on the waiver. And I feel like the Saturday and Sunday waivers are pretty inactive. Like if you already have your defense and all your stuff, a lot of times you don't even look at it. I don't even put bids in because I don't need anything. And then I'm just like, oh, this guy's sitting there. What the hell?
Right. Yeah, I looked when every like the first part of the week and I saw no one I needed, so I just didn't bid. I didn't look at what people dropped, so it's like I didn't think about looking. I thought it was good till next waiver or a week. So
yeah, so keep an eye on that stuff. Be surprised what people will drop sometimes. Just like they have a shitty game and the player performs poorly, sometimes they'll just rage drop them.
Yeah, or they just the guy had three bad weeks in a row and maybe he started just had three unfortunately bad games in a row and then he's a legitimate player and you pick him up. That's kind of what Travis Etienne looks like right now. If maybe he is still the player we thought he was, but he just had a couple bad games.
Any other spending you want to talk about? Because that's the only one I wrote down.
I didn't look anything else. Yeah, so I don't know.
There wasn't much else. Nothing exciting anyways.
It was a pretty lackluster week. So
yeah. I forgot our bet from last week was Packers or Lions.
Oh yeah.
I didn't write it down in that section, but obviously the Packers lost, so we knocked this Millard out quick before I forget about it again.
You're catching up.
Yeah. I'm only down by one now.
Yeah. I think you gave me two or three gimmies lately. Yeah. So I think now we gotta kinda even it out. Just
yeah, the next one I'm definitely favored in the next one we're doing, so
yeah.
We didn't say it on the show yet though. Yeah, go ahead. You proposed it.
Okay, so my idea was our safety versus your safety. McKinney has 6 interceptions. Kirby Joseph has 6 interceptions right now. We're a game behind the Packers. So if Kirby Joseph gets his 7th interception, Kyle has to take a shot. Or if he doesn't get an interception, I take a shot and I lose. So that's the bet. Who's got the better safety?
Well, here's to the Packers losing.
He's also the guy who got the pick 6.
That's how he caught up in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, love's good for those. If you're just playing the Packers again next week, you'd probably not want to take that.
Get to play him one more time, too. Maybe he'll be more throwing less picks at that point in the season.
He's the
bye last year. That's when we got hot. So I'm hoping the same thing happens this year.
His rookie year was Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay. He picked off Rodgers 3 times. So he picked him off twice in the first game, and then he picked him off in the final Week 17 game. And ever since that day, the Lions fans will post pictures of like a dad and a son, and they always put Kirby's face on the dad and Aaron Rodgers' face on the son. And then this week, they started changing them all to Love because he got the pick 6. So they have a lot of fun with that one.
I just do 3 picks to one guy in a season. That's insane.
It's the only time he's ever done it. And
I would imagine. He usually throws like 5 to 7 a year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's so crazy. Kirby did it 3 times in a year, and that was his final year. So
impressive.
His last pass, he picked off Rodgers' last pass
as
Packer, too. So, yeah, he's got all kinds of Packer record books. Well, fake record books that fans make up, but it's still fun.
Yeah, I remember that one because he asked Rodgers if he could have the ball.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Rodgers was like, I can't give you this one because he knew that was probably his last pass in Green Bay as a Packer, so he didn't want to give it away even though the dude got the pick.
Yeah, no, I see where he's coming from, but Mm-hmm. You should have honored it. That was pretty cool by Kirby.
Yeah. Especially if your last pack's a pick. Why would you want that fall of all the balls? You have enough cool game balls in your trophy room, I'm sure.
Well, and he probably didn't know this, but Kirby Joseph's favorite player was Aaron Rodgers growing up. He like idolized him. So like he played like quarterback in high school and stuff. Like he wanted to be Aaron Rodgers. So like that moment for him was probably the most surreal thing ever. So yeah, I'm sure he would have loved it to be signed, but I'm sure he still just loved the fact that it happened.
All right. Jump into the next segment here. We got the trading block.
I say market for a nickel. How about 2 cents? Okay.
And there's nothing to talk about because there were no trades this week. So I'm just going to throw out there real quick. Keep in mind, the deadline is coming up. It's November 29th. I'm also going to mention, it doesn't really matter for this year, but we voted in, so next year you'll be able to trade picks. This is probably the time of year when you start looking at doing that. You probably don't want to do it early in the year. But this is the time of year where you can look at your team and be like, all right, I'm making a playoff run. What picks can I give up from next year to make my team better this year? On the flip side, if you're doing bad, like, for me, for example, I could be like, my team sucks this year, but I do have a couple of good players. Someone might want them. Maybe I can just say, fuck it. I'm toast this year, but I can get an extra second round pick next year. So you can be like, hey, who wants whoever? I don't even know who I have on my team as far as trading. Everyone seems to suck. But Just throwing that out there, something to kind of think about, so you're prepared for it next year when it actually happens.
When we first voted on that, I was actually kind of disappointed. I did not like it. I didn't think it was a good idea. But the more I think about it, it kind of makes this as like a miniature dynasty league, because dynasty leagues are really big on that because you only draft rookies. So if you're not doing well, or you know your team's not going to compete in the next couple of years, you trade off your assets for draft picks. And then you just tank for 2 to 3 years. You get a bunch of draft picks for the new rookies that come in for the next couple of years. And then you rebuild your team. And if you hit on a couple of rookies, then you trade some of the pieces for other older players. So that's kind of like the way it goes. And that kind of makes this feel that way. So I think this will be a lot of fun. I'm curious to see how this works next year when we start doing it.
I think it will be a blast. And then it'll... I would assume it will prevent, it won't necessarily, but it kind of prevents like the same people from making the playoffs over and over. Cause if you're making it, you're probably going to try to shore up.
Yeah. Cause it's true.
If you're making the playoffs and you're trading the picks away to get those guys and everyone else isn't doing it cause they don't want to give that up for next year, then you're just going to, you'll have the huge favorite to win it. So it's the weighing of it. I think I will limit it to like maybe like a third round pick. I don't know if I want people having 2 first round picks.
I wouldn't even give up a third. I would say like maybe like fourth or later, just because like top 3 round picks really change. Like what if some guy comes into the draft and he has like 3 third rounders?
Well, you could only, well, yeah, I guess if you had 2 good players to trade away, you could have 3 3 rounders.
Yeah, and you're sitting there like you just tanked. Like, all right, I'm just going to get knighted this year. I don't care. Bring it on. Bring on the big black beast. Just tank, trade your 2 best players. Get 2 third rounders, and then you're sitting there like, man, next year you're gonna be hard to beat. Like you can make so many mistakes. If you do like a half decent job drafting, you're gonna have a stacked roster.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to look at that a little closer. I'll look online and see what other leagues do, what seems to be popular.
But I mean, if you think about this
first year, and like second, I feel like is off the table.
Yeah,
if someone gets 2 first round picks, especially when it's randomized. Like, fuck, you might get 1st and 2nd overall pick. Like, that's
right.
That's too strong.
I mean, just even think of like 4th and later. You still have players like we had like Chris Godwin and stuff, right? Like, they're still going to be good name players. So it wouldn't be like you're not getting good players in return. You're just, you know, you still have to draft them.
Mm-hmm.
Got to find the right one.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll figure it out. Until then, we won't concern ourselves too much with it. So the next segment, we got the injuries of the week. So number one, we got Drake London. He hurt his hip, left the game early, did not return. Keep an eye on him, Jim. He's your player.
Yeah, he didn't sound really bad, so I don't know a lot about hit pointers, but hopefully he's all right.
Yeah, he was biking on the sideline for a while, and then they just ruled him out, so... how bad it was. But next up, we had Caleb Williams. He hurt his ankle. He said he's okay. It was near the end of the game. If you're starting Caleb Williams, which I am, you should probably stop that and strap him
for other reasons. Just for other reasons, you know. You don't have to blame the injuries on him. Just you know.
That's not injury related. That's just
brain
advice in general. Next up, we had Dak Prescott, the $60 million man. He hurt his hamstring and left the game late. It's a hamstring, so it's probably going to be a couple weeks before he comes back.
I'm sending up my prayers. I already prayed for his leg.
We had Chris Olave. He had a concussion. He's had a few concussions now, so if you're starting him, I would keep an eye on this because he got brought to the hospital, so it wasn't just like he got pulled off and cleared, like looked at in the tent. They took him to the hospital. He did come back to the stadium. He was with the team during the post-game stuff, so you know he's okay. But I don't know how quickly he's going to clear this concussion protocol.
Definitely. I'm curious to see what happens with this because there's a lot of talk about Tua being used as like an example for the media just to shut up, like basically be like, we'll just take Tua out for 4 weeks, make the media happy so they get off our back about, you know, concussion protocol stuff, and then we'll just bring him back in. Like people thought he could have played like 3 weeks ago. I'm not really sure. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to judge on that stuff. But if Chris Olave comes back like in a week, I think that would have kind of point towards maybe that's true because like I feel like now he's had a really bad concussion live, had to get hospitalized for it, has had multiple in his career. I think it was like 5 or something, right?
6? I didn't look up the number, but I knew this was not his like even second one.
I saw like 5 or 6 people are talking about on Reddit, so who knows if it was true. It was just what I was reading. So like a lot of concussions, like that's Tua level. So I'm curious to see how it's handled.
That is a good point. Yeah, if he comes back after a week or 2 weeks and it's at the same degree as Tua's was, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But Tua might have cleared the concussion protocol 2 weeks later, but the Dolphins put him on IR. Whether the NFL pressured for that or not, I don't know, but right, he was on IR, so it wasn't an option to have him come back until 5 weeks later.
Yeah. Very true.
And then one last one I have in here, AJ Brown, he hurt his knee. He exited the game. Another injury for AJ Brown. Don't like to see it. Keep an eye on it. I don't know the extent of it.
I heard it was pretty minor, so
okay.
Might just be one of those things like, yeah, you just play through an injury for a couple weeks. You probably won't notice it because pain tolerance is pretty high on these guys.
All right, so we got one segment left, the matchup recap. But before we jump into that, we're going to have a quick word with our power ranking expert, Justin Huebner.
Well, we got our fantasy football power rankings expert over here, Mr. Heebs, coming in for the second, the first time back-to-back guest, or first time two-time guest.
Thank you for having me again.
Glad to have you.
I would use that term expert very, very loosely.
In the land of fantasy football, as we talk, anyone can be an expert. So, I mean,
this is very true.
It might be like a dunce cap or something at this point, but, you know, wear it proudly.
With pride, I shall. All right, I'll just get straight into it. I've got Jim number one. Just looking top to bottom. I mean, you're starting pretty much a top 10 guy at almost every position. Waddle being your only exception right now, and Chubb, but I'm, you know, we all know their potential. Hopefully, they'll get there. Number two, I've got Carstens. I've got Carstens sitting at number two. Chase Brown looks like he's going to be the guy in Cincinnati from here on out. He should be. He's the best back they have. And then Lamar, he's just, you know, doing Lamar things again. And Kyron Williams, that guy, he's one of the best backs in the league. Just watching, he's so shifty, he's so fast. If he can stay healthy, he's definitely top three, I think. Number three, I've got Lee. I mean, he's got Mixon. He's been pretty stable if he's healthy. Kittle's the best tight end in the league again. Jordan Love is, it's the Lions. The Lions are just fucking good. Everybody's going to struggle against them, but Love will be just fine. Going back next, I've got Poor Boy. And then I've got Tiff. And then Jackie. And then Richard. And then Vicky. Ashley.
Do I got to get the drum roll?
Kyle. And then I've actually got Scooter sitting ahead of Mike and Mike's team.
Oh, there it
yeah.
is. Whoa.
Yeah.
The team you drafted.
I know.
It looks so good at the start of the year. But yeah.
I know. It still looking at the team, I still like this team top to bottom. I mean, Stevenson's got a shit team, but I mean, he still put up, what, like 19 last week?
Yeah.
Something like that, I think. Dobbins had a good week. Jefferson had a good week. Neighbors, Flowers had good weeks. I still think it's a good team. But yeah, obviously, right now, the numbers say otherwise. I did want to give a shout-out to Karstens, though. Sitting second in the league. He's second in points scored. He's only made 3 roster moves. That is impressive. That's a good draft. So definite props to Karstens on that one. I mean, you're looking at everybody else in the league. There's almost everybody else is into double-digit roster moves. So, yeah.
We were just talking to him about that before. He drafted incredibly well.
He said he could change things up. You know, he's just still new to fantasy. I think this is the only league he's ever played in. So, you know, he kind of had that, you know, I'm a Packer fan, so you draft all your Packers for the first year, and then you realize that's not a good strategy. And then he had the whole, like, hey, let's draft big name people. You know, he drafted Mahomes really high because, hey, it's a big name, best quarterback. And then he said, like, hey, I started to realize these aren't good decisions. So this year he really did kind of decide to really play more like to the chalk, you know, like, okay, you don't take your quarterback this early. They're not supposed to go there. And he made a lot of those decisions and it's paid off. So, I mean, Bruce, you just need a little bit of tweaking sometimes. Just try to not be too big on your fandom, you know, overdraft like Packer players, things like that. And if you do that, you can be competitive in this sport. If it's a sport, I guess it's a game. Sorry. It's real life.
It's a sport in the same way that esports are sports.
Yeah, I had to wait a long time to hear my name on that list there. I was I just kept going. I was like, Dad, how low am I going to be? But it's deserved. My team stinks.
I was drumming because I was like, I thought he was going to say his team. So I thought you were pretty hit low too, though, were you? You're higher than Scooter. I thought Scooter had a better team.
Yeah. What was my number?
Yeah, I mean, 11.
11.
Wait, no, there's 12, right? 10th.
Yeah.
10th.
Yeah, 10th.
I'm 10th.
Yeah.
All right. So I outdid 2 people at least. But yeah, I agreed with all your top ones. I mean, that's.
I think you can't argue me, Lee, and Karstens as the top.
Yeah, those are the 3 best teams.
Those are the 3 best teams. It's pretty obvious. And then you have like a mix of teams all in the end. Like everyone else in the back end is probably able to make the playoffs. It's actually one of the most competitive like leagues I've ever seen. I don't think anyone's out yet.
Hey, there's Jim, and then everyone else is within, what, 2 games of one another?
Right. Every week it changes who's like in the playoffs. It's kind of crazy. And I think it's because of how like my team has won so many, like it kind of pushed up everyone else because there's no like real like low end team either. So like, it's just really made this huge like cluster and everyone's just fighting to get out of it. Like he started 0-4. So like his team was all injured. So now his team's getting healthy. And then he traded McCaffrey and he got,
Achan,
Miami running back. Yeah. Achan. So like now Achan's going off. So like he's pretty much been Christian McCaffrey whenever Tua's been out there, so he's been having a good year now.
Hey, Richard pretty high too. Richard's team is basically Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry,
well,
really all you need.
Yeah, honestly, that is all you need. I think what did I have? No, I think I had Richard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th. I had Richard 7th.
I mean, because that really is his team. He had better players at first, though. He had Godwin. That really hurt.
Oh yeah,
so he was one of the better teams before, but he's had some injuries.
Richard's just
he had Pacheco too, so he lost.
Oh yeah, Pacheco. Yeah,
like that sucks, man.
He's got a lot of guys that aren't sexy names, but they put up points. Like Jacoby Myers, that dude puts up double digits almost every week. Cedric Tillman, I mean, he's pretty much the guy in Cleveland now. But
pick up, yeah. 3 weeks in a row of like 20 plus points.
Like Bo Nix, he's not flashy, but he's generally should get you at least 15, 20 points every single week.
He's been good.
I mean, yeah, Derrick Henry just runs freaking all over everyone. So, yeah.
His demise was greatly over. What is that phrase?
Decline?
Yeah, everyone thought he was going to be like washed up this year because Tennessee got rid of him.
Oh, Henry. Yeah, that was way off.
Well, he hit that level or hit that age 30. Everyone's like, oh, he's 30 years old and the team's giving him up. So, like, they can't think he's that good anymore.
No, well, the Cowboys didn't want him.
Tennessee's just dumb.
Well, they weren't competitive. You can't.
Yeah,
really have they can't be a competitive team. You might as well, if he's that old, just get rid of him or let him go and have his last glory years somewhere else. I think they kind of just did right by him.
That's probably what it was, yeah. They know they're not going anywhere.
They were trying to trade him to the Ravens last year in like middle of the season. They just couldn't make it work. So,
yeah, that I never heard.
I remember rumors about that.
Yeah, right around. It was a pretty big rumor. Everyone thought it was going to happen. It was definitely one of those ones like Darius Smith, the Lions right now. Everyone just thinks it's going to happen. That was pretty much what everyone thought Henry to Baltimore was.
So Darius, he's got to go to the, he's got to get on the Bears for one season and he'll do the whole NFC North circuit.
That's right, he was in the Vikings. I forgot about that for a season. Didn't he get traded to the Browns too? So he went.
Yeah, I think you're right.
To the Vikings, they got traded to the Browns. I think he got traded from the Browns to the Lions by most accounts. So he has been moving around lately. Is that it? I guess we're only much more than the power rankings. So
yeah.
Them's the rankings.
Them, yeah. I mean, that was pretty much it.
All right, then. Well, I'm gonna head off.
Very cool.
You guys have a good one. Eves, thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Have a good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. All right. Always good to hear from Heaps. And let's get into the final segment. We got our matchup recap. So the first one is me versus Tiff. Tiff wins 105.88 to 74.58. I got my ass whooped. So my wide receiver woes just continue. My three wide receivers combined for 3.3 points this week. One of them got negative points. Can't win like that. This is shaping up to be a very poor year for me. Yeah. Chargers defense was my highest scoring player. They got 11.2 points. Outscored my quarterback, outscored everybody, outscored all my receivers combined. Tiff, it wasn't a fantastic game, but it was plenty enough to beat me. She had Cortland Sutton and Kelsey. They both had great games, but nothing else too noteworthy in that one.
So the question's got to start, residing in your head or a thought. Are you starting to think about the Doc Johnson yet?
A little.
You might be taking it home. You'd put all that work into it. You might have to find a spot.
Not the worst team, though, am I?
I don't know. You've had some bad injuries this year. You're getting to that point where, you're getting scary. Like, you can't take another, running back injury. Like, if you took a loss like Cooker,
they're not even good.
Hall?
That's the problem. Those guys are supposed to be good. Like, damn, they keep getting 10 points. Like, God. Damn it.
Yeah, they at least have blow-up games every now and then. They kind of both have a couple 20-pointers. I'm just saying, your team is starting to look a little rough. Now, I'm not trying to hate, just saying, the injuries are really catching up, I think.
I think between those two and Metcalf, I should be able to get a win in the loser's bracket at some point.
Yeah.
That's all I need, just one win, then I'm out of there.
We're just talking about how close all these teams are. Everyone's pretty competitive in this league right now, so some good teams, even going to be in the loser's bracket.
Gotta hope. It doesn't even. Yeah, it's like maybe Jackie's got the worst team. The trophy still comes to our house, anyways.
Yeah, can't use that one.
Doesn't even pay.
Hey, if you guys both missed the playoffs, I have to start hitting up.
It's looking likely this year. But so next match we got Lee versus Poor. Lee wins this one, 123.12 to 100.06. So Love underperformed pretty hard for Lee in that rainy game against the Lions. But A-Chain more than made up for it. He looked fantastic again. That was a very good trade for Lee. A-Chain's looking great since Tua's been back. On the flip side, Kyler Murray scored a whopping 4.76 for Poor. Team scored 29 points. It's weird that your quarterback has 4.76 points, but they were able to run, so they just kept running. Really wasn't much point in doing anything else.
I have a think about A-Chan quick. So A-Chan, in all his games he's played with Tua, has had 20 or more points every game. And if you look at his numbers as a running back and his numbers as a receiver, he's a top 12 running back and wide receiver on the year, if you separate his stats for both. So to say, like, he's amazing is pretty much understatement with Tua. Like, he is basically Christian McCaffrey level good so far with Tua this year. So Lee might have, like, a league winner with Achan on that trade when he swapped him for McCaffrey, basically. So pretty big deal there.
Which is wild. Yeah. You drafted McCaffrey to be McCaffrey.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't even Achan. And he's the new McCaffrey. Yeah. I loved Achan. He was just getting drafted so high this year, and I was like, fuck, he might get hurt. Seems like he would get hurt. But I guess he also has to worry about Tua getting hurt, because if Tua gets hurt, he's fucked, and if he gets hurt, he's fucked. So it's kind of like a double whammy. Yeah, next matchup, we had Jim versus Carson. Carson wins this one. He ended the win streak. So for Carson's Chase Brown and Garrett Wilson, they led his team to success. They both had just fantastic games. Nick Chubb, he failed to deliver this week for Jim. Chase, he had a pretty bad game for his standard, and Drake London got hurt pretty early on, so he had some lower scores in your thing. 107.7, not your best. Is that your worst?
Might be.
I should have looked.
Yeah, I think it is. I haven't gone under 100 yet, so I think maybe I had 103-point week, but it would have been my second, like, single digit, like, 100 in, like, you know, single digit. But, yeah, the team just kind of, everyone kind of just underperformed, except for Hurts and Barkley.
Yeah.
Montgomery didn't get a touchdown. Obviously, Drake left the game early, and he was looking okay. Chase, we both are talking about that, where, you know, he started out great. It looked like he's going to have a big game, and then just nothing happened. Burrow throws 5 touchdowns. You think he'd get 1, didn't it? Yeah, so just overall down week across the board for my players. But it's not to underestimate Carson's team. He has a really good team. You know, you had Chase Brown, Garrett Wilson, but he also had Lamar Jackson went off. You know, he had a lot of players that had some big games. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially now Chase Brown looks like the starter there.
Yeah. Did they? Oh, yeah. Anyone who didn't see it, you got to look up Barkley's run. Just look up Barkley's highlight run play. I think it's the coolest run play I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, he just schools 3 different dudes in 3 different awesome ways. The third one's the best one. But yeah, that was insane.
I mean, I'm not going to say might. That is the play of the year, I think.
So far.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those ones that, like, that's going to be like the Odell catch, right? Uh-huh. You always see it. It's always going to get brought up. So it's hard to beat that on a year. Like, not most years don't come back with, like, one play like that. It's going to be talked about forever.
And that's what you love about football, though. Like, these super athletic dudes just doing crazy athletic shit. Just
right.
Jumping right over top people, plowing one guy over, spinning off another dude, and then just jumping over a guy.
Yeah, while people are running at you like 20 miles per hour doing this. Like, yeah, I mean.
And how fast he's moving that whole time. Faster than probably any of us can even run, period. He's doing it while he's bouncing off people.
Right.
Yeah, next matchup, we had Mike versus Jackie. So Mike wins this one, 136.94 to 90.58. So another ass-whooping here. J.K. Dobbins and Zay Flowers, they both had great games for Mike. You like to see J.K. Dobbins kind of putting up some good numbers again. On Jackie's side, we had Puka. He got ejected from the game very early for punching a dude. Got a little too heated, I guess. What are you going to do? And last note I had was, I just got to note it because Jackie asked me if she should start Keon Coleman or Jackson Smith and Jigma. I told her to start Jackson, so she went ahead and started Coleman. The reverse Kyle's advice didn't work this time. Jackson scored 33.5. Coleman scored 4.6. Luckily, it wouldn't have mattered. She lost by enough that huge point differential still would have resulted in a loss, but it would have been more respectable, at least.
We need to start tallying this too. You know, we got like the shots tally. We got to have like the Jackie Kyle advice tally. See what side wins every time.
Yeah. I'm like, why even ask her for advice? I guess she just wants, she wants to do the reverse. I mean, it's been working, so I guess you roll with it.
Right.
But not this time. This time she should have listened. So yeah, next matchup we had Scoots versus Ashley. Scoots wins 122.54 to 114.6. Ashley takes a goose egg from Deontay Johnson as the Ravens recently traded wide receiver. Don't like to see that. That's the risk you take when you have a guy on the team for less than a week. It's hard to get fully acclimated to the offense. Kate Otten for Ashley is looking fantastic. He's been top probably three tight end the last couple weeks since all the receivers got hurt over there in Tampa Bay. For Scoots, Mahomes scores over 20 for the first time all season. Probably second time in two seasons, honestly. It's a great game from him. All he needed was to get to overtime, and he could pull it off, because I don't think he would have had it without that overtime touchdown.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. He's having a rough year for fantasy, it is.
Well, he got over 20. He got the win for Scoots there. And then Chuba Hubbard, he looked awesome again for Scoots, so way to hang on to him through thick and thin, because he's looking great recently.
Don't lose to the Panthers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you will be fired.
Oh, yeah. And their most recent coach firing this week. Yep.
Yeah. All the Panther fans were cheering for something like, hey, we finally did something.
Got a guy fired.
Yep. That's what that does to a motherfucker if you get beaten by the Panthers.
And last matchup, we had Vicky versus Richard. Richard wins this one 145.02 to 102.4. Very impressive score from Richard. So DeAndre Hopkins, he had a great game in his second week as a Chief. So perhaps to Vicky, that's a handy person to have. It wasn't enough this week. Derrick Henry, that's really all I got to say about that. Same thing every week. And then Cedric Tillman, he had a good game for Cleveland. So that was a good pickup by Richard there. He's been looking pretty good. That's really about all I got for the highlights there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for our two guests for being on this week. We'll probably won't have a guest next week. But tune in anyways. We'll talk to you then. Good luck in fantasy.